Book 18. Chapter 2. How Herod and Philip built several cities in honor of Caesar, concerning the succession of priests and procurators, as also what befell Phraates and the Parthians. When Cyrenius had now disposed of Archelaus's money, and when the taxings were come to a conclusion, which were made in the 37th year of Caesar's victory over Antony at Actium, he deprived Joazar of the high priesthood, which dignity had been conferred on him by the multitude, and he appointed Ananus, the son of Seth, to be high priest, while Herod and Philip had each of them received their own tetrarchy, and settled the affairs thereof. Herod also built a wall about Sepphoris, which is the security of all Galilee, and made it the metropolis of the country. He also built a wall around Betharamphtha, which is itself a city also, and called it Julius, from the name of the emperor's wife. When Philip also had built Panias, a city at the foundations of Jordan, he named it Caesarea. He also advanced the village Bethsaida, situate on the lake of Gennesareth, unto the dignity of a city, both by the number of inhabitants it contained, and its other grandeur, and called it by the name of Julius, the same name with Caesar's daughter. As Coponius, who we told you was sent along with Cyrenius, was exercising his office of procurator and governing Judea, the following accidents happened. As the Jews were celebrating the feast of unleavened bread, which we call the Passover, it was customary for the priests to open the temple gates just after midnight. When, therefore, those gates were first opened, some of the Samaritans came privately into Jerusalem and threw about dead men's bodies in the cloisters, on which account the Jews afterwards excluded them out of the temple, which they had not used to do at such festivals, and on other accounts also they watched the temple more carefully than they had formerly done. A little after which accident Coponius returned to Rome, and Marcus Ambivius came to be his successor in that government, under whom Salome, the sister of King Herod, died, and left to Julia, Caesar's wife, Jamnia, all its toparchy, and Phasaelus in the plain, and Archelaus, where is a great plantation of palm trees, and their fruit is excellent in its kind. After him came Annius Rufus, under whom died Caesar, the second emperor of the Romans, the duration of whose reign was 57 years, besides 6 months and 2 days, of which time Antonius ruled together with him 14 years, but the duration of his life was 77 years, upon whose death Tiberius Nero, his wife Julia's son, succeeded. He was now the third emperor, and he sent Valerius Gratus to be procurator of Judea, and to succeed Annius Rufus. This man deprived Ananus of the high priesthood, and appointed Ismael, the son of Phabi, to be high priest. He also deprived him in a little time, and ordained Eleazar, the son of Ananus, who had been high priest before, to be high priest, which office, when he had held for a year, Gratus deprived him of it, and gave the high priesthood to Simon, the son of Camithus, and when he had possessed that dignity no longer than a year, Joseph Caiaphas was made his successor. When Gratus had done those things, he went back to Rome, after he had tarried in Judea 11 years, when Pontius Pilate came as his successor. And now Herod the Tetrarch, who was in great favor with Tiberius, built a city of the same name with him, and called it Tiberias. He built it in the best part of Galilee, at the lake of Gennesareth. There are warm baths at a little distance from it, in a village called Emmaus. Strangers came and inhabited this city. A great number of the inhabitants were Galileans also, and many were necessitated by Herod to come thither out of the country belonging to him, and were by force compelled to be its inhabitants. Some of them were persons of condition. He also admitted poor people, such as those that were collected from all parts, to dwell in it. Nay, some of them were not quite free men, and these he was benefactor to, and made them free in great numbers, but obliged them not to forsake the city, by building them very good houses at his own expenses, and by giving them land also. for he was sensible that to make this place a habitation was to transgress the Jewish ancient laws, because many sepulchres were to be here taken away in order to make room for the city Tiberias, whereas our laws pronounce that such inhabitants are unclean for 7 days. About this time died Phraates, king of the Parthians, by the treachery of Phraataces his son, upon the occasion following. When Phraates had had legitimate sons of his own, he had also had an Italian maidservant, whose name was Thermusa, who had been formerly sent to him by Julius Caesar, among other presents. He first made her his concubine, but he being a great admirer of her beauty, in process of time having a son by her, whose name was Phraataces, he made her his legitimate wife, and had a great respect for her. Now she was able to persuade him to do anything that she said, and was earnest in procuring the government of Parthia for her son. But still she saw that her endeavors would not succeed, unless she could contrive how to remove Phraataces' legitimate sons out of the kingdom. So she persuaded him to send those his sons as pledges of his fidelity to Rome, and they were sent to Rome accordingly, because it was not easy for him to contradict her commands. Now while Phraataces was alone brought up in order to succeed in the government, he thought it very tedious to expect that government by his father's donation as his successor. He therefore formed a treacherous design against his father by his mother's assistance, with whom, as the report went, he had criminal conversation also. So he was hated for both these vices, while his subjects esteemed this wicked love of his mother to be no way inferior to his parricide. And he was by them, in a sedition, expelled out of the country before he grew too great, and died. But as the best sort of Parthians agreed together that it was impossible they should be governed without a king, while also it was their constant practice to choose one of the family of Arsaces, nor did their law allow of any others, and they thought this kingdom had been sufficiently injured already by the marriage with an Italian concubine and by her issue, they sent ambassadors and called Orodes to take the crown, for the multitude would not otherwise have borne them. And though he was accused of very great cruelty, and was of an untractable temper and prone to wrath, yet still he was one of the family of Arsaces. However, they made a conspiracy against him and slew him, and that, as some say, at a festival and among their sacrifices, for it is the universal custom there to carry their swords with them. But as the more general report is, they slew him when they had drawn him out a-hunting. So they sent ambassadors to Rome, and desired they would send one of those that were there as pledges to be their king. Accordingly, Vonones was preferred before the rest, and sent to them, for he seemed capable of such great fortune, which two of the greatest kingdoms under the sun now offered him, his own and a foreign one. However, the barbarians soon changed their minds, they being naturally of a mutable disposition, upon the supposal that this man was not worthy to be their governor, for they could not think of obeying the commands of one that had been a slave, for so they called those that had been hostages, nor could they bear the ignominy of that name. And this was the more intolerable, because then the Parthians must have such a king set over them, not by right of war, but in time of peace. So they presently invited Artabanus, king of Media, to be their king, he being also of the race of Arsaces. Artabanus complied with the offer that was made him, and came to them with an army. So Vonones met him, and at first the multitude of the Parthians stood on this side, and he put his army in array. But Artabanus was beaten, and fled to the mountains of Media. Yet did he a little after gather a great army together, and fought with Vonones and beat him, whereupon Vonones fled away on horseback, with a few of his attendants about him, to Seleucia upon Tigris. So when Artabanus had slain a great number, and this after he had gotten the victory by reason of the very great dismay the barbarians were in, he retired to Ctesiphon with a great number of his people. And so he now reigned over the Parthians. But Vonones fled away to Armenia, and as soon as he came thither, he had an inclination to have the government of the country given him, and sent ambassadors to Rome for that purpose. But because Tiberius refused it him, and because he wanted courage, and because the Parthian king threatened him, and sent ambassadors to him to denounce war against him if he proceeded, and because he had no way to take to regain any other kingdom, for the people of authority among the Armenians about Niphates joined themselves to Artabanus, he delivered up himself to Silenus, the president of Syria, who, out of regard to his education at Rome, kept him in Syria, while Artabanus gave Armenia to Orodes, one of his own sons. At this time died Antiochus, the king of Commagene, whereupon the multitude contended with the nobility, and both sent ambassadors to Rome, for the men of power were desirous that their form of government might be changed into that of a Roman province, as were the multitude desirous to be under kings as their fathers had been. So the Senate made a decree that Germanicus should be sent to settle the affairs of the East, fortune hereby taking a proper opportunity for depriving him of his life. For when he had been in the East, and settled all affairs there, his life was taken away by the poison which Piso gave him, as hath been related elsewhere.